All right, you still got your Bibles open to 1 Thessalonians? We read the first time through. We read the first time through looking for what Jesus did for them. It's what Jesus does for us. But there's something in every one of these letters that we've noted where God will finally say, I've done this for you, now here's what I want you to do for me. Okay, now it was not a bargain. It was not a trade. It was not a swap. It was not some kind of trade-off. It's just the Father who loves us did something for us that we didn't deserve. But now He wants us to live our lives a certain way to please Him. In fact, that's how this letter begins to discuss it. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now this is not complicated. This is real simple kind of stuff. You're going to hear me say it again, what you've heard me say before. It's not easy, but it is simple. Just listen to what he says. He said, finally, brothers, that would include sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. Underline that phrase. If you forget everything else, don't forget this. If you forget everything else, don't forget this. All that really matters is that we please God. I know there are going to be people in your life that you're not going to be able to please. There are some mates that you cannot please. There are some bosses that you cannot please. There are some church members you cannot please. There are some neighbors that you cannot please. So focus your attention on trying to learning to please the Lord. Now watch how he says to do it. He says, I want you to learn how to please the Lord. That's how you're living. And now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For we know that, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. So it's set. Here's how you love Jesus. Here's how you please God. Okay? It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Stop. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Real quick, not reteaching it. We've heard it. There are two parts to this being sanctified. One part is what God does for us. That's the part where He counts us as holy. He counts us as sanctified when we don't feel like it. Well, you can answer this question, and folks that are visiting will hear how much we've taught on this. Are we holy?
Yes, no.
Yeah, you'll hear it over and over. People say yes, no here. Do you feel holy? No. Do you know for a fact of your life that you're holy? I know I'm not holy. But God counts me as holy, so I have to agree with God. So what do I say?
Yes.
Yes, I am holy. Yes, I'm holy because He counts me so. But am I holy because of the way I've lived? No, I'm not. Sanctified means God counted us as holy, but also He wants us now to live that way. Now watch this. That's what His explanation is. You should avoid sexual immorality. That's simple enough, isn't it? You should avoid sexual immorality. That each one of you should learn to control his own body. Now that's where I want you to circle that. Control your own body. It's not what somebody else does that determines what you get to do. One more time. It's not how somebody else behaves or how somebody else treats you that determines how you get to behave. What determines how you behave is the Lord's will, His directive here, His instruction. Avoid sexual immorality. Control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in the passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. For in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins as we have already told you and warned you. God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God who gives you His Holy Spirit. So stop. The first thing he discusses here is how we take control of our own body. It's easy, and we struggle with it here. We talk about it. We struggle with it. It is easy for you to get caught up into that thing. Well, he did this first, or she did that first. He did this to me. She did that to me. And we let that determine how we're supposed to behave, how we're supposed to react. No, 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 no. God said we need to take control of our bodies. We take control of our bodies, and we don't let somebody else's behavior make us or blame somebody else's behavior for making us act in any way. We take control of our own bodies, number one. Now look at the second paragraph. That verse 9 begins a second thought. So if I'm going to please God, one, I take control of my own body, and there's some things I avoid, right? Now number two, there's a way I treat my brothers. About brotherly love, we don't need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. I think I hear that same thought said about you sometime. I'm not going to make that claim. I'm not going to make that claim for us. I love it though when I hear from others say, after visiting here, I think I really see people that really love each other. I like that they see that. But better than them seeing that, better than us even wanting to claim that, is us doing that. It's not about do people say we love each other. It's not about whether or not we want to say we love each other. It's do we really love each other. Look at this. You've been taught by God to love each other, and in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet, we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. So, do we love each other? I hope that's right. When somebody says that, I hope they're speaking what they've seen from God. But if that's the case, that means we just got more to do. We do love each other, that's good. Let's keep loving each other. Now, what does that involve? We got it. Before we move to the next paragraph, we got to talk a little bit. What does that involve? It does not involve church house talk. It does not involve church house talk. Well, you've done it. You've been to big church. You've been to big church. I should have a tie on. The preacher stands up. His voice is deeper. His gestures are more orderly. His face is much more distinguished and stern. And he quotes Greek now and again. And he says, I love everyone. And we all go, yeah, right. No. And you hear people get up and they'll say, I just want you to know I love everybody. I always get nervous when people start doing that real syrupy sweet stuff. In fact, in church sometimes what you ought to do is put your hand on your billfold. They're trying to get something, right? I'm not talking about church house talk. I'm not talking about let's stand and hold hands, turn down the lights and sing Kumbaya. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about real kind of loving each other. How did Jesus define it? How did Jesus define it? Defines the wrong way. How did Jesus demonstrate it? He washed people's feet. He used an illustration to show them, here's how you really love somebody, is you do something for them that they need done. And you put them ahead of you. Folks, how many frustrations have we felt? How many irritations have we created? How many upsets have we caused because we wouldn't really love each other? Well, I love everybody in that church. Oh, you do? You patient? You kind? That's how God defines it. You keep a record of wrongs? You jealous? Self-centered? See, real love doesn't do that. And he said, I want you to love each other. And he said, you do. But he said, there's more and more to do. That's true of us. Even if we do love each other, let's love each other like this way. That's how we show that we please God. You want to please God? Then love me. You want to please God? Then love her. You want to please God? Then we got to love each other. Well, you don't understand. I bet I do. You want to talk about it? You don't understand, though. Her personality is such, yeah. Have you looked in the mirror? Well, you just don't understand. His personality is just, I understand. Tell me I don't understand. I know us. Have we got some oddballs here? Do not point at me. Have we got some folks that are hard to take in here? Oh no, we just love everybody. Liar. That's not true. We got folks in here that are just odd. And we got folks here that are crusty. And we got folks here that are hard to get along with. Now, what do? You love them. And does that mean that you have to be like them?
No.
No. We talked about it before. I think it's probably the best illustration of personalities I've ever seen. We got some folks in here that are Winnie the Pooh. Short, fat, proud of that. Yeah. And we're just pretty content. Easy going. Give us enough honey. We're fine. But we got some other folks in here that aren't Winnie the Pooh. We got some folks in here that are Tigger. And they're excited about it. They're always going in there. And Kelly's not here, so I can't point at him. But I mean, they're always going. And they're always excited about stuff. And they want to talk to you first thing in the morning. And they're happy. And there was a Proverbs today. We read Proverbs earlier today. And it says, he who blesses his friend in the morning with a loud voice, it shall be counted as a curse. Yeah, and we've got a guy sitting at the back that believes that verse and practices it. The curse part, yeah. But we got some folks in here that are excited and they're always bouncing. But you know what happens to people that bounce? They sometimes don't pay attention to where they're bouncing. And other people get left behind. Or other people get their feelings hurt. But they're too busy bouncing. They don't have time to take care of those. And then we got folks in here like Eeyore. Oh no. My tail fell off again. We've been waiting for it to rain since right after the flood, folks, around here. It started raining and I heard it started hearing people said, well, I hope the church doesn't leak this time. We got some Eeyore type people but they can't ever see the good in anything. And then we got some folks, and I'm going to be real honest, we got some piglet people. And if you ever really get, piglet people wake up in a brand new world every day. They don't have a clue what's going on. And they need somebody to take them by the hand and lead them. And you think, well, where were you yesterday? And then we got some rabbits, and if you've ever studied it, if you've ever looked at that, that rabbit is not somebody that you put in charge of anything because ain't nothing ever going to be right. We got folks like that in here. And you know what he said? He said, love each other. Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm telling you, Jesus did understand. He had a Peter, Andrew, James, and John. He had his own Pooh, Tigger, Eeyore, Piglet, Rabbit. He had that same deal. He told us to love each other. So, you upset with each other? You frustrated with each other? You irritated? I understand. Who cares? Love each other. All right, look at the last paragraph in that. We'll speed up. Verse 11 says how we treat... That last paragraph was how we treat each other. First one was how we treat ourselves. Second is how we treat each other. Third one is how we treat outsiders. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. Incredible advice here. Mind your own business, to work with your hands. Just as we told you. That's God's way of saying get a job. So that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. We have developed sometimes in us, I don't care what people think of me. Now, we don't really mean it that way, because if somebody said something mean to us, then it would hurt our feelings. So we really do care, but we like to, I don't care what people think about me. This says, I want to earn the respect of outsiders. And he said, win the respect of outsiders so that you will not be dependent on anybody. I'm glad we can rely on each other. I'm glad we can help each other out. But what he's wanting us to do here, is not become people that are dependent on others. We need to take care of our business. We need to do our job. We need to take care of our responsibilities. We need to become the kind of person that has respect with people from the outside. All right. Let's go to chapter 5 and let's just read through these. The thought is still, how do we please the Lord? The thought is, how do we please the Lord? Well, he told us, you control yourself, you love your brothers, and you work and live in a way to win respect with outsiders. And then he starts to discuss how we do that. But verse 4, Well, because of our time, let's slide down to verse 12. Let's just get to that final instruction part, okay? And then we ask you, brothers, respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Now I'm going to stop a second, not because none of these others were needed, but let's focus on verse 15 for a second. Because it underlines a point that we repeat here over and over and over again. The way people treat us does not determine how we treat them. The way people speak to us does not determine how we speak to them. We are to be sure that we don't pay back wrong for wrong. Folks, where do you want to start that? Do you want to start that in your family? Start that with your family. Start that with your mate. Well, you don't understand. My mate did this. I understand your mate did that, but that does not excuse you to act that way. Well, my kids, they did that. Oh, I understand about kids. I got some. But that doesn't excuse how you react to them. Flip that over. You don't understand. My parents did that. I understand. Your parents may not understand you at all. They may not be worth any kind of example. But it doesn't determine how you treat them. What determines you treat them is you don't pay back wrong for wrong, and you always, underline the word, I didn't write it. God said it. Always try to be kind. Always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. You cannot go wrong by trying to be kind. Alright, and this says be joyful always. We work on that at weekly, don't we? Every Wednesday night we work on that thought. Seeing God do good things in spite of bad things happening in our world. Keep going. Pray continually. Not bad advice, is it? Good advice. In fact, it's a commandment. That kind of settles it. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Well, that's impossible. That's impossible. I got a text on my phone I'm keeping for a while because it's the exact opposite of that. It's a list of constant circumstances and all the things that God did wrong in those circumstances. My Bible says give thanks to God in all circumstances. Now, I'm not saying I'm there. Did anybody hear me say I was an example of this?
No.
No, I'm listening to this firsthand for me. I need to learn to give thanks in all circumstances. For it is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice his motivation for that. He doesn't say because your life will be happier. He doesn't say your marriage will be better. He doesn't say you'll get a better job. He doesn't say people will like you more. This is not a win friends, influence people, make more money kind of thing. It is God's will. Why should I thank God for all circumstances? God said to. And if God said it, that settles it, right? All right, now don't put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. And guys, underline that one. Hold on to the good. You got something good, hold on to it. Avoid every kind of evil. You got something bad, let it go. So you hold on to what's good, you avoid what's evil. Now, in that list of things, he goes back to talking about how we take care of us, how we control ourselves, how we treat folks around us. So we'll finish that way. When Jesus chose his disciples, one of the things he intended for them to do was to watch him, watch the way he lived, so they could learn how to be like him, so they could learn how to please God. And for 3.5 years, they were in the school of Jesus to learn just that. We didn't spend 3.5 years with him like that, so we we still got some time to work on it, right? Until He comes, we need to keep working on it. How to be like Jesus in the way we deal with our bodies, how we deal with our brothers and sisters, and how we deal with outsiders. These things are directions, instructions, commandments from God that can tell us how to do that. Are they easy to do? No. But they are simple instructions, not hard to understand. So when we eat this supper, here's my thought. Keep your Bible open. When you eat the supper today, if you can, keep your Bible open to these instructions. And focus on the one or the two. Well, focus on one. Focus on the one that you need the most. Focus on the one that spoke to you that where you need to change the most. And while you remember Jesus and you remember His body, think about how you need to be doing with your body. And when you think about Jesus and His blood and how it washes away our sins, think about how you want to live your life. This new life you have, how you want to live it for Him. Hold on to what's good. Get rid of what's evil. And let's at least begin to consider what needs to take place in us after our time while we remember Jesus in this supper.